Our last week of The Giving Tree. That was a really fast series, by the way. So here goes. As we left last week, the tree had sacrificed its apples so the boy could buy stuff. The tree had sacrificed its branches so the boy could build a house and hopefully win a woman over. And the boy took the tree's stump to be able to build a boat and sail far away. And I was reading today that, you know, he sailed away all by himself, so obviously the branches for the tree didn't work. Of course, what I read said, the life lesson is women don't want houses built out of branches, they want jewelry. Can't believe everything you read on the internet. So last week was the trunk to sail away, and it said, and the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. I am sorry, boy, said the tree, but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples, said the boy. My branches are gone, said the tree. You cannot swing on them. I'm too old to swing on branches, said the boy. My trunk is gone, said the tree. You cannot climb. I am too tired to climb, said the boy. I am sorry, sighed the tree. I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry. I don't need very much now, said the boy. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired. Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could. Well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down. Sit down and rest. And the boy did, and the tree was happy. Will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this evening that we could be here in your house to sing and praise and worship and to be into your word. We just pray that you will open up your scriptures for our ears to hear, for our minds to understand, and for our hearts to seek to be like. We pray that your presence is in this place, but we also pray that your presence is with all of those friends and family who aren't able to be here, whose presence we miss here in worship. We pray that you are with each one of them as they are doing homework and working and taking care of family and the other things that they are doing. And we just pray by your Holy Spirit that they will know that they are missed, that they know that they are being prayed for, and that they know that you are with them, whether you are here or there. For all of this, Lord, we pray in your most holy name. Amen. So here we have the end of the giving tree. And let's get right to it. What is this story? But the story is the ultimate story of sacrifice, isn't it? The tree that loved a boy so much that it would give the boy anything it could, from the easiest of the apples to the most difficult of its trunk. All it wanted to do was make the boy happy, and when the boy was happy, the tree was happy. We don't see the boy giving anything back to the tree, do we? And we don't see the boy doing much except coming and continually asking for things once that boyish adoration ended towards the beginning of the book. And yet still, the tree just sacrificially keeps giving until the tree has nothing left except this poor little stump in the ground. That's not good for very much. There's a similar story, I know. I bet you know the similar story. The story of one who loved so much it was willing to give absolutely everything. Our God, who was willing to give us absolutely everything we needed, gave us this earth, gave us our life, gave us our law to be able to help us to live. A God that gave us warnings, a God that gave us strength, a God that gives us everything when it seems like there is nothing left to give and nothing else that can be done. What does God do but sacrificially? God sends himself in the form of his son, born on this earth in a manger, to live and die for us. And what does the scriptures tell us about that? But we go into the book of Philippians, the letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. And what does Paul say as he's trying to relay of who Christ is and what that means for us as human beings, what that means for us as God's children, what that means to us as Christians. And Paul says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Completely and totally humbled himself by taking this human form, this aching, painful, heartbroken form of a human being, so that he could be the ultimate sacrifice for us, so that he could be the ultimate sacrifice on that cross, so that we would not have to be separated from him anymore. I mean, that's the sacrificial kind of living and loving that our God has. That's how far he's willing to go for us. And with this passage and others like it from Paul, God through the scriptures looks at us and says, all right, I gave you everything. I gave you absolutely everything. What do you have to be able to give to me? How much can you give? Can you give me your time? Can you give me your love? Can you give me your whole being to follow me and to walk in my path? I think some days we kind of forget how much God asks for. I think some days we're too easily giving God kind of what's left over at the end and forget that the command in the Bible was to give of the first fruits. Do you know what that means? It meant when harvest time would come, the very choicest of fruits that would come off the tree were those very first ones. And you would think those are the ones that you would enjoy and you would love the most. But the command was to give those first fruits to God, that God would get the best of the crop, that God would get what's first, and then you would keep what's left. Well, what does that mean when you give God what's first, not knowing what the rest of the harvest is going to be? You give to God first, and then you have faith that God is going to give you enough to sustain you through the harvest and then to the next. Is that the kind of sacrificial living we're willing to give? To right off the bat give God what God needs first of us and then pray that God will give us enough to sustain us after that? Makes me think of a story that I love of a little boy. A little boy that one day went into an ice cream parlor, okay? You got to think back to ice cream parlors. They once used to be. But he walked into the ice cream parlor and he sat up at the bar stools of the ice cream parlor, and the man working behind the counter came up to him and he said, what can I get you today? And the little boy said, well, how much is an ice cream sundae? And the man said, 35 cents. The little boy pulls out his pockets and he looks at his coins and he says, well, how much is just an ice cream scoop? Well, the man behind the counter at the second question gets a little impatient. Well, 25 cents, what's it going to be, son? And he looks at his coins one more time, and he goes, the ice cream scoop, please. Okay, so the man gruffly goes off and quickly gets his ice cream and drops it back in front of the boy and almost forgets that the boy had been there. Well, he's wiping down the counter later, and he finally gets to where the little boy was, and he goes to pick up his dish. And what does he see there? A quarter and two nickels. 35 cents would have been enough for an ice cream sundae, which would have pleased that little boy. But that little boy knew sacrifice, that he knew he needed to leave something for the man that was serving him and helping him. The selfless act of taking care of somebody else, no matter what your needs. What God does for us is absolutely amazing. What God gives to us could never be counted and could never be repaid. But what we can do is our little bit to make sacrifices back for God, to give our life to Him, and trusting that if we give what He calls for us to give, that God will sustain us through the days and years until, like that little boy, one day we come to our time of eternal rest to sit with God in endless glory and to be able to praise Him for the blessings of the life that He gave us. It's kind of like what we do in that last part, this Sunday coming up, All Saints Sunday, the Sunday when we remember those who have gone before us, to remember that our hearts hurt in their loss and we feel grief, but that we also get to celebrate that they're in the place that God has prepared for them, that they are reaping the reward of their faith, that they are getting to be in the ultimate of all ultimate places in heaven with God and Jesus Christ. And we practice lighting candles for them, to remember them and who they are. And so tonight I have one of our three stations, and when I sit down, I'll give you time to come to all three, but one of our stations is for lighting candles for those that have passed that we want to remember, to light a candle to remember that even though it seems dark without them, that light of who they are still shines. And so this evening, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for all of the sacrifices that you have made, that you would send your son to be completely humbled as a servant on this earth for us, that he would suffer the pains and losses of being a human, that he would be bound on this earth just for us, but that moreover, that he would be willing to die on a cross for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be filled with grace instead of guilt and debts. Help us to remember this gift each day, and help us to live a life of sacrifice worthy to be called yours. For all this we pray in your most heavenly name. Amen.